looking out and I'm looking for those disappointed faces. Because you looked at your program, you saw Phil Jackson. And the NBA fans are kind of taking a second take here. My name is Phil Jackson, and I came with Shaquille O'Neal and Kobe Bryant over here on the second row. So, you know, if you brought your autograph book, this was your day. This is your day. It is a blessing being here. I feel like I'm coming home. I'm originally from Arkansas, born and raised. I was kind of grew up in the towns up and down Highway 30. My father was a preacher, so I feel like I've been kind of relationally connected to the Pleasant Valley Church my whole life. I mean, I've been in and out of Little Rock most of my life. I married a girl from Little Rock, and I know some of you. I went to school at Harding with some of you. You guys have gotten old. And, you know, now I'm in Dallas working with an organization, a missions ministry called Missions Resource Network. Unfortunately, that's located in Dallas, Texas. I feel like I'm in exile or something like that. But I live in Texas. I'm not a Texan. So I remain a staunch Arkansan. I'm proud of it. And I'm proud to be with you on this special day. It's a day of celebration. The mission of God is a celebration. God is still working in the world. He still cares. He's reaching out and he's pulling and drawing people to him. We were reading yesterday with your group that we'll introduce and recognize a little bit later that's coming to Athens with us. It's why we're here yesterday, is to get to know them a bit, visit with them, kind of coordinate what we're going to be doing together. Chris Shelby, it's my colleague at Missions Resource. He's the director of African Missions. Brad Dixon, a brother from the Fort Worth area, he and his family are coming to Athens, prayerfully moving to Athens next year. And we're working in partnership with some of your people that will be with us in Athens, serving, loving, and preaching the gospel, and extending a message that Jesus is still a reality. He's still relevant, and God still cares. It's a celebration day. God's still engaging his creation. It's also a day of challenge, because the job's not done, which means if God's still working, we're still working. If the master's working, the servants don't take a break and sit on the couch and eat Fritos. We're still in this. And so it's a day of celebration. Pleasant Valley, you have led us. You're, to my count, fully supporting 11 missionaries, missionary families, works out into the world. This is an example to other churches, and as we engage churches, typically on a mission Sunday, we tell stories of churches that are fully involved, fully engaging the mission, and what you're doing is an example. We appreciate that. We want to honor that. This is your day. Before we get too deep, and I get in preacher mode, let's praise God for what he's doing here and how he's lifting some of your own up. I would like for Audra Norris. Yeah. I told you I was going to do it, so don't be surprised. Laura Murphy and Big David Burkhalter. We're going to call him Big David. But these guys, can we clap for just and affirm these young people? And we're gonna offer a thanks to God for these three that you've been nurturing and cultivating, encouraging here, and you will continue to do so as they not only go to Athens, but then beyond. This is what the local body is all about. We take care of each other, we take care of each other's needs, but we also realize there's a lost world out there and we sinned. So let's praise God for these three in anticipation and expectancy of their good work in Athens. Holy Father, we are so proud to be your children. We're so proud to be your church. And with this, Father, we want to fully live into it and fully participate in your purpose as the church, which means we will raise people up, we will bless them, and in harmony of your spirit, we will send them out. So I ask that you look over Laura, and that you look over David, and that you look over Audra, as they prepare in the remaining weeks that they have here in town before they leave, as they serve in Olomouc, and then as they also serve in Athens, expressing the goodness, expressing the grace of your name. Bless them and bless this church as they send them. I offer this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I was counting on you, brother. Title of hopefully my short talk is Rediscovering Our Role and Mission. I've been in this activity, purpose, I hate to say business because it's not a business, but for over 25 years. I've served in on the field in Romania for about 10, and I've been with MRN for about 15. And I, over this time, I've interacted with a lot of good people, lost and saved. And in this journey, trying to find where I fit in. You know what it's like. You know something's going on, and you're kind of part of the group, and you know you're welcome to participate, but you're kind of trying to find where and how and what's appropriate to participate. I've been struggling for this for a long time, and I want to present this talk in this way. I'm not teaching and I'm not speaking of authority. I'm going to share with you a journey, because I'm well aware of who I'm talking to. This church has been involved in missions in a long time, and you don't need another sermon on you need to do missions. I think you've got that one. But I want to share with you a bit of my struggle as I have tried to find my place in the mission of God, because I believe this. In Genesis 12, there is a clear expectation from God to Abram, I'm going to bless all people through you. There is a global redemptive idea from the very beginning as God engages the world. And then we see it in Matthew, the end of Matthew 28, before Jesus takes off, he has full expectation. You go make disciples of all people, to these 11, some who are doubting, to engage. So there is a big agenda to engage the planet with the message of Jesus. Nothing less than everyone is on the agenda of God Almighty. But this agenda is so big, how do I fit in? And that has been a lot of my discovery. I grew up here in Arkansas, and I probably don't tell it now, but I was quite a big strapping young man on a junior high football team some time ago in Texarkana. And, it was kind of a cruel thing. You know, a lot of guys in junior high, they grow up pretty big and wide, and football's kind of their thing. And I liked football, but I just kind of stayed the same. You know, I probably couldn't almost get away with being called a junior high kid. But I was on the football team because my buddies were, and as the law of gravity kind of dictated, I was third string, I was tackling fodder, I was the X for other people's O's that the coach would use around. But the cool thing, you know, that we would all look forward to, me and the other handful of guys that really weren't part of the playing, you know, on Friday night football team, but we were part of, you know, the team, would be every once in a while we'd get to make a road trip. Didn't make every road trip, but we kind of rotated around and got to, you know, go at least to one or two road games. Played a game in Lufkin, Texas, and it was my turn. And to be quite honest, I didn't even have a position, okay? I was on the team, but I really didn't have a position. And so when I went up to get my jersey, the guy just kind of, they had an extra number 76, and he threw it to me. 76 for a kid this big. I think they had three or four number 76s. I don't think 76 was you know, a star football number on our team. But I had number 76, made the trip, was on the sidelines, had my jersey on. Things are going pretty well. At some point, you know, in the game, at the end of the game, time's running out. And, you know, the coach is kind of looking around and saying, who hasn't played? The game's decided. We got a couple of minutes left. You know, let's get some kids in here who haven't played. You know, some of my buddies, get other 76s, go out there and start playing. And finally, he said, who hasn't played? Me, coach. I'm a timid little blonde-haired kid. I finally had the nerve to say, I ain't been in yet. So he says, go in. And so I'm about halfway out on the field, and I turn around and realize, what position? And he said, running back. Apparently the running back had come out. I had never played running. I didn't know what that meant. I knew where to stand, but I They call a play. It's all happening so quickly. And next thing I know, I'm just kind of standing there, and the ball snapped, and there was a, you know, scrimmage, whatever. There's just a bunch of guys running into each other. I kind of ran into the back of that, and the game's over. I played. That's how, unfortunately, I have felt a lot. And brothers and sisters, unfortunately, many of our churches have engaged their role in the mission of God. It's not enough just to trot on the field and mix it up. It matters what we do. And Jesus spent a considerable amount of time and investment of prayer, of instruction, of challenge, of transparency with a certain number of disciples to prepare them for the mission of God, not just to run in and then just kind of run into the back of the scrimmage there, but to fulfill an articulated and specific role. Now, this is why we've read John 20, 19 through 23, and thank you, Brother Dean, for doing that. To me, this is a Great Commission passage. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. This used to be a very bothersome passage with me because it includes forgiveness, doesn't it? If you forgive someone of their sins, they're forgiven. If you don't, they're not. Well, I'm not quite sure about that. Forgiveness of sins? Didn't Jesus get some kickback on that one when he forgave a man's sins when he was being lowered into a room from the roof? This man's sins are forgiven. He later healed them. But who is this who forgives sins? Who are we to forgive sins? Yet there it is. As I was sent by the Father, I send you. If you forgive someone's sins, they are forgiven. Of course, he added the Holy Spirit on them. I think what I have done over in my journey of trying to understand this better, I've accessed Paul in his letter to Philippians. Very familiar passage. Philippians 2, where Paul is speaking, your attitude as a people of God, your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I've often looked at Philippians 2 as just, yeah, that kind of describes what Jesus did, but what if that is, these are the terms, these are conditions in which God sent Jesus. I'm sending you, my son, though you are equal to me, you are the very nature God, let it go. And as you let it go, you're going to engage in an identity less than what you are. You're going to become a servant. And you will be obedient. You will submit the injustice, the ignorance, the corruption of your brothers. And you will obey and surrender to their evil, the cross. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Could he be talking to us? In order to fulfill my role in the globally redemptive ambition of God, this is what I believe I'm discovering. I'm becoming less. I appreciate what Brian said earlier about freedom. We have a mild obsession with freedom within our culture. It is one of our idols, along with security. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. As one being sent by Jesus, one who went through this Philippians 2 reality, this path to the cross, this path to fulfill the will of his Father. Becoming less has become something that I am trying to not only intellectually understand, but fully embrace in my life, because it is what is required to forgive another. Forgiveness doesn't work this way. And those of you, all of you, when you have been forgiven, truly forgiven, that you have embraced and been able to accept and realize in order to move on, it wasn't a charity. It was something given to you by someone who was on your level, someone who was willing to risk being misunderstood in the forgiveness of you, to accept you, to be associated with you, someone who was willing to endure the injustice of accusation in order to extend grace to you. I must absorb the cost. I take the burden of injustice in my forgiving of another person. I accept the consequences of other people's ignorance as I extend grace and forgiveness to another person. I do this in order to reflect the grace of God. Brothers and sisters, forgiveness is not an abstract. It is reality. If you are truly going to get up and move on in your life, you need more than some concept of forgiveness that you have been forgiven or of grace. You need a reality. Now, I wasn't always this upstanding citizen. There was a period in my life when I rejected what my mother and father instilled in me. I was hurt. I was discouraged. Very immature. And I made decisions that were a statement contrary to what I thought other people had imposed upon me, and it was an expression of my freedom. The consequences of living such a life were becoming more and more evident. And you don't need details, because many of you have had this journey, and many of you may still be in this journey of rebellion. Well, I have an older brother. His name is David. And along with Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, David's a pretty important guy to me. He was and still is a pediatrician in Northwest Arkansas. I had moved up there. I was going to law school at the time, and I was experiencing the consequences and a difficult path that I had chosen. And David was observing this. David's a good man. He's a godly man. And he was watching his little brother kind of go off, taking a bad exit off onto he was leaving the paved road, we used to say, in life. He asked me to lunch one day. And I remember it clearly. I remember the restaurant in Fayetteville. We were sitting there. Once again, he had forgotten his wallet, and he was insisting that I pay for lunch. But that was okay that day, because I was pretty beat down. And in fact, my knees had been broken. I was in a tough situation. We were eating lunch, and it was a bit awkward. And he just laid his hands out on the table, just like that. And he said, "Phil, I don't care what you're into. I love you. You're my brother. I'll do this with you." I took his hand, because that was the only hand on the table at the time. And brothers and sisters, it may to you sound like heresy, but at that moment, I didn't need the forgiveness of an invisible God. I needed the forgiveness of my brother. How else was I going to get back into my family? As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. I give you power. If you forgive someone, they're forgiven. If you don't, they're not. This is an important thing. People understand and connect with other people. You understand this well. People motivate you. They inspire you. They lift you up. They encourage you in ways that nothing else in the universe can. No other concept can truly have the power of encouragement and inspiration, motivation, as another person, especially a person you love, especially a person you respect. God knows this. Why else did he send Jesus, a man, to touch lepers, to lift up women caught in adultery, to inspire common people to be part of this ambition that all people will be blessed by them, that all nations will be enculturated into the kingdom of God through their discipleship. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters of Pleasant Valley, if you forgive the sins of others, they will know the reality of forgiveness. And they will actually have a cup to receive the forgiveness of God. If you don't heed the challenge, where will they put the forgiveness of God? My daddy always said, you know, I can teach somebody all day long, but if they don't have a cup to pour it in, it's worthless. My role, I believe, I'm discovering on this journey, is to be a forgiver of people, to offer people the cup in which they can truly receive the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of their Almighty Father, and truly be lifted up and inspired to engage this life, this kingdom. As we sang in the song, may this kingdom be here. I believe it is, because, brothers and sisters, I'm here. And I'm here because of David Jackson, who gave me a cup to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. And my life has taken not only a radical, but a much better turn. Okay, a day of celebration. And we celebrated our three brothers and sisters who are going to engage the world this summer. Many of you are going to do the same. I understand that. It's also a day of challenge. Hopefully somewhere near you is a pencil or pen or some piece of paper that you may have stuck in your Bible and you have a little bit of space to use. I'm going to ask you to use it. I want you to think of at least two people that you're aware of, that you know. You may already have a good relationship. You may have just some relationship with them. But there are two people in your world right now that need forgiveness. And when you've looked at them, you say, if they only knew the grace of God, man, that would make some difference in their lives. I'm asking you, if they knew the forgiveness from you, that would get things started. And so as we launch into the world as disciples of Jesus Christ, as sent ones, as apostles into the world, this is our purpose as a church. The church is the one club whose sole purpose is for its non-members. Write two names down. Who are they? Two people that you can be praying for now. Two people that you can start being much more intentional as your days and your routine kind of intersect with them. Two people in which you can extend words, actions, a touch, something that extends a forgiveness, a grace. Some of these people are not going to be perceived as your equal. Great. It's an opportunity for you to let go of your nature, let go of who you are, and become less. Some of these people need serving. Serve them. You have a pierced ear. I've often had an emotional opinion about forgiveness. People have hurt me in the past. One of the reasons why I kind of left the Christian path some those years ago and required my brother's forgiveness. But I have an expectation that I can't really extend forgiveness until you shape up a little bit. While we were yet sinners, Jesus was sent to die for us. Why would I impose on another person what Jesus never required of me when he forgave me? And how can I fully appreciate what Jesus did for me unless I fully participate in giving that to another? I think I always knew about forgiveness. I think I'd always taught about God's forgiveness. I think I could always carry a pretty intelligent conversation about the grace of God. But I knew nothing about forgiveness until I was forgiven. And the joy of fully living into that forgiveness that was given to me as I extended it to another person has been a blessing. You need to understand that forgiveness is not a bargain. Forgiveness is not justice. And forgiveness is not equitable. It is my role. As the Father sent His Son, He's sending you. I believe this is our role in the mission of God, to become what is required to forgive another. And I will allow the Father to bless them and redeem them and transform them and judge them at His pleasure. And may God empower you and trust Him as you ruthlessly pursue those two people. Brothers and sisters, you don't know something until you do something. I know this is a church of grace. This is a church of strength. This is a church of this full capacity to engage the forgiveness that we're talking about. And I'm asking you to not only write those people down, I'm asking you to share those two names with someone else so that you can be praying and holding each other accountable to this desire to extend this grace. This is Mission Sunday. Scott said it well. The critical element of missions is not money. Never has been. The Lord will take care of that. And we'll participate as we can and as we desire. But the command is personal. We are sent into this world as grace and forgiving people. Grace-filled and forgiving people.